Amen. Thank you, Brad. And if you couldn't see, there's no music stand up here that he was following. So that was all by ear or by heart or something like that. I'm impressed. Well, good morning. My name is Barbara Fode, and I am here to welcome you, whatever brings you here, whether it be a custom for you to be here, whether you have come to check us out of curiosity, whether there is some kind of crisis in your life for which you need a calm place and some love, you're in the right place, and may you feel the peace of God here in this sanctuary. We especially welcome people who are new. If the welcome team or I haven't caught you yet, here is a brochure that you can find at the back or out the doors, or we'll catch you with one that tells you about the mission and ministries of the congregation. If you will open up that bulletin as folded in half, inside you should see a yellow slip. And we would appreciate everybody putting your name and some kind of contact information, whether you've been here 50 years or it's a first time. And then on the reverse side is an opportunity to write a prayer request that will be shared later in the service. So if you do have a prayer request, the ushers will collect those yellow slips in a few moments. Later in the service. And if you don't, that's just fine. Just drop this yellow slip in the offering plate when that comes by. Our worship service is abbreviated in that order of worship. It will be fully on the screens in front and back. And if you're interested in following along in more detail, there is a QR code on that bulletin, that funny little thing down here. And if you have a smartphone, and you may know how to get that full liturgy there. There are restrooms out this door today. Our child care worker is not well, so we do not have child care. Children are always welcome in the service. There is a table up here with some crayons and things for children, rocking chairs in the back. The gathering room is right behind me. You can get there through either door for some fellowship after worship. And I would remind you of our safe sanctuary policy that children should always be accompanied through the service. To lift up some current ministries and things going on here, October 6th, I think that's 2 weeks from today, is World Communion Sunday, which to me is always a really special time to think about Christians all over the world at the same day having a communion service. And we're going to do something special. It's on the back side of your bulletin. We would like for you to bring in some kind of a picture, a memento, some fabric, something that means something to you that is from a different country and maybe from your heritage. And if you come just a few minutes early, those are going to be arranged here on the altar table. I also know that it's easy for us to forget the problems around the world, and particularly those two of all the Bahamian islands. Apparently, most of the islands are fine, but the two that were hit by that hurricane are really devastated, and we continue as United Methodists to be there to offer relief through the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And I know I keep forgetting to bring my checkbook, so if you haven't done that either, there's information about putting a memo in that says hurricane relief, and that will go to UMCOR, and 100% of the money you give goes directly to relief. The administrative costs are paid by our general apportionments through the year. So both of those things are important, and there's many other things in the bulletin, so do take it with you and look at the things upcoming through the week. And at this point, we will continue with our worship.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Are we good? Are we great? I always have one fantastic in the front row, and it makes me very happy. So I am Pastor Alicia. I am honored to say I am the pastor here at this church. There are so many wonderful things going on in and out of the church and around the church. In August, not only did we feed through our food pantry 141 children, 277 adults, and 33 seniors, we also have a pet food pantry, and we fed 48 pets. So I am so honored to say these things are happening every month. So as we continue worship, I wanted to touch base, because I don't know how much we've done this, on our wall back here. What we've been talking about in September is how it is really hard to follow Jesus' teachings. These expectations and this example Jesus has set is really hard and challenging. It can be a rocky road. It might even be like climbing a rocky mountain as we follow Jesus' example of compassion and love for all people. So, as we continue to remember how hard it is and learn and grow from Jesus' example, let us stand in body or spirit and join in singing, O Master, let me walk with you.
Let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me your secret, let me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the homeward way. Teach me your patience still with thee in closer, dearer harmony. In work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only give with you, O Master.
Amen. Please remain standing for our call to worship. Lord Jesus Christ, we call you Lord. You tell us we cannot serve two masters. Forgive us, gracious Savior. We arrive at this place this morning. Amen. So look around you. You are surrounded by the beautiful people, the beautiful diversity of the people of God. This is God's family around you. So before you settle back in your seats, take a time to connect with your neighbors and share with them the boundless love of God and reassuring peace of Christ be with you. Now, when you hear the music, it means it's time to return to your seats and we will invite the children forward. Will the children come forward as they're comfortable?
Yes, this is where children belong, welcomed as part of the worshiping throng. Water, God's word, bread and cup, prayer and song. This is where children belong. This is where children belong. Welcomed as part of the worshiping throng. Water, God's word, bread and cup, prayer and song. This is where children belong.
Please be seated. Hi, how are you today? How are we doing? Are we okay? You're good? Good. All right, so I'm wondering, I have some balls here. Does anyone know how to juggle? Kind of. You want to try? Yeah. All right, so I'm going to give everyone one ball. I'll give you one. Why don't you stand up? Stand up, because it'll be easier to juggle if you're standing. Now, these are soft balls. We'll start with the hard ones after. Oops. Can you give one? Thank you. Jim, do you want to try? Okay. All right, so who can juggle one ball? Try it. Go ahead. Can you do it? Do you know what we mean by juggle? What's sisters doing here? All right. Good, good. All right. We're looking good. How about two balls? Oh, go get them. Go get them. Here you go. Here's this one. You can try. Two balls. How are we doing? We got some loose ones. We got some that are going okay. Were you able to do two? Let's see. Oh, good job. All right. So now we're going to do three. But we're only going to give three to some who are somewhat ready for three, like you, because this is not as soft a ball. How are you doing over there, Jacob? Can you do two? No. Okay. All right. So can you do three? You going to try? Let's see. Oh, so close. So close. All right. So today we're going to be talking about a parable in which, oh, baby's getting in it too. Good. A parable that Jesus tells us about in the Bible, in Luke, in which we cannot serve two masters. It's kind of like juggling balls, two or three or more balls. When you're juggling more than one thing, you have a harder time keeping track of it all, and it might fall and go across the floor. So Jesus tells us that when we're following God, when we're working towards goodness and kindness and compassion and God's love, that we are on the right track. And that when we try to do other things, like try to be popular with our friends, or if we're trying to want a lot of things, a lot of stuff, that we aren't also serving Jesus. So that's where I thought we'd do the juggling, because we can only serve one master at a time. Will you pray with me? And then I'm going to ask you to put your balls back in the basket. And then if you'd like, you can sit at the table and color, or you can go sit with whoever brought you, okay? I have a feeling as I'm praying, all the balls are going to come out because the baby's going to take them out, right? That's right, Mom, right? Okay, will you pray with me? Loving God, we are so grateful for the reminder that when we're trying to juggle too much and not following your lead, your love, that we fall short. So be with us so that we might follow you truly and wholly. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so will you please put the balls back in the bucket and go find whoever, or go sit with whoever brought you, or you can sit at the table. And we have a wonderful musician and choir singing for us.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. That was really great. The message is about what is important in the Gospel of Luke has been pretty clear, but today that grinds to a stop. Is Jesus commending dishonesty or fraud? It seems that every commentary we read on this text has a different theory. Today I'm reading from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job... Wait, I think we missed a spot. Okay, I'm going to read here and then I'll catch up with you on the screen. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it for 450. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill, make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either they will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of God for the people of God. Are you as confused as I am? Okay. So much of this sermon I will be speaking is by Aaron Wathrin. Oh, we have a hymn. Sorry, I'm so used to having... thank you for pointing out the screen. I'm so used to having the sermon right after the scripture. So we're going to sing a hymn. Maybe during the hymn we will understand the scripture. So temptation abounds. Choosing to follow God's will for us is not a simple act. Will you please stand in body or spirit? And we're going to have the choir sing our first verse because it's a new hymn, and then you can join in on the second verse as you're ready. Okay, are we still confused about the scripture? Okay, so as I was saying, much of this sermon comes from Erin Wathrin. She took the words out of my mouth as I was preparing my sermon, and so I kind of intertwined her sermon with mine. So if you have ever, if anyone ever tries to tell you that the Bible doesn't contradict itself, well, first point them to all the weird food laws that Jesus and Paul later said were fine. And then show them this parable. It's just a weird parable. It sends some mixed messages from a moral standpoint, and scholars have been arguing for centuries about what it means. The poorly performing manager is fired. So he does what anyone would do when they're about to be unemployed. He mines his network. He updates his LinkedIn profile. He goes about doing favors for everyone he knows, hoping they'll be good to him when he needs a new job or a loan or a place to live. So he calls in all of his boss's debts at a fraction of their actual amount. It seems like dubious ethics at best. But then Jesus seems to side with that guy. He uses him as a good example. He calls him shrewd, otherwise known as clever. Even though this guy is clearly protecting his own interests and cheating his boss. What are we to make of that? Well, Maybe it's a Robin Hood situation, rob from the rich and give to the poor, perhaps. Some scholars frame it that way, saying that in those days, charging interest of any kind was forbidden. So maybe the debt forgiven by this manager was a measure of interest that the boss wasn't supposed to be charging anyway. Even if the story itself is confounding, it still has an important message in the broader context of the gospel. You cannot serve God and money. Maybe we should not overthink the rest of it and stick with the bottom line. You can't serve two masters. The manager here, whether you want to call him shady or clever, has chosen who he's going to answer to, and it isn't the boss's rules. He's chosen another economy, another set of values, and whether it's for his own gain or for the good of others, he is clear on who he's going to answer to and who he's not. Older translations of this text, and maybe this is a familiar phrase for some of you, you cannot serve both God, and I know I'm going to be corrected if I say this word wrong, mammon. Did I say it right, Jane? Okay, good. All right. You cannot serve both God and mammon. More recent translators have swapped out mammon for the contemporary language of money. But back in Jesus' time, mammon was actually a personified god, worshipped by many. Whatever god you chose to worship in your house reflected a certain set of values. And mammon was a god of material wealth. So if a family chose mammon as their household god, it's clear where their priorities were. Our translation, you can't worship God and money, is maybe oversimplified. Mammon was not just about money, but the idol of money. And isn't the idol of money so much more powerful than money itself? Because the idol of money is about more than the amount we have in hand. It represents all that we don't have, all that we perceive our neighbors have, and all that we might have later. And that's a God around which we can easily begin to order our lives. That's a God that starts to affect our decisions, fuel our anxieties, and misdirect our trust. When you put it like that, it seems much of the world we live in and the entirety of the global economy worships the God of mammon. This parable is not so simple, but the message is. At some point, we have to decide which economy we are going to operate in. Our God's economy or the world's. And then adjust our values accordingly. The trouble is, that's easier said than done. We still have to make a living. We have to eat and pay our bills and keep a roof over our heads. And so, and to do that, we are often at the mercy of how the world works. And it has always been so. And maybe that's how we get such confusing parables about money and the kingdom of God, because there is really no easy way to be faithful to the gospel while also living within the world's economic system. But just because it isn't easy doesn't mean we are excused from trying. If we look around our own lives, our own community, we would find plenty of examples of people choosing to operate in God's economy, even while living in the world's. Neighbors, helping neighbors, people who are generously share what they have in order to make the world a better place. Sometimes even big corporations doing the right thing, counter to all we think about corporations. The emerging world of pay what you can restaurants, and there are about 50 in our country, is transforming the way people think about food assistance and charity. They feed people in need, and people and people who can pay side by side, giving low-income people the chance to eat a real meal at some place other than a shelter. An actual bill comes to the table, and then the person pays what they can. Nobody else can see what they do pay or what they don't pay. The important thing that these restaurants offer, other than free and affordable food, is dignity. And also, community. One of these restaurants is in Philadelphia, and it is called EAT, E-A-T, the acronym for Everyone at the Table. They have found that location is the key to the success of this venture. The best places to situate a pay-what-you-can restaurant are in economically diverse neighborhoods. If you put it in a nice part of town, folks who really can't afford it, or the folks who really need it can't get there. And if you put it in a rough neighborhood, the people who can actually pay and sustain the operation are probably not going to venture to that neighborhood. It's tricky because these are not non-for-profit organizations. They are actually businesses with operating costs and owners and employees who need to make a living. But they are not at the mercy of the world's economic system. They have envisioned a new way, a new system of feeding and connecting with people, while also keeping the doors open and the lights on. For that to work, the table has to be approachable and accessible. And of course, that really makes or breaks the operation. What really makes or breaks the operation is the generosity of the ones who can pay. They could get away with not paying and enjoying the meal just the same. Or they could pay only what the bill says the meal costs. Or those who have money can pay a little more. This is what makes this place sustainable. And this is a parable in and of itself. It's the only way to make sure the ones in need can eat for free. It's a pretty simple story, after all, and an even simpler economic reality. Pay more when you can. And trust someone else will cover you when you can't. These pay-what-you-can restaurants in God's economy really struck me, and it's something that all of us can be praying about. Our vision statement at University United Methodist Church is feeding God's people, body, mind, and spirit. How will we live this out in God's economy? The story of God's economy is somewhat simple. It's about valuing people more than possessions, taking the long view instead of the short one, and above all, trusting in the goodness of God. Amen. As we begin a time of prayer, feel free to be a singer or a listener as we begin our time of prayer, singing, My Jesus, I Love You.
My Jesus, I love you, I know. Savior, are you? If
Let us be together in prayer as we have a time of silence, and then I will offer a spoken prayer. And finally, we will sing the Lord's Prayer together. We'll be singing it this week and I believe next week, so take your time learning it. If you've learned it, please sing along. And if you're still listening as we sing, that's okay too. Now take a deep breath. Get comfortable in your seat and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. Loving and merciful God, have mercy on us. Today we come to you knowing that we don't always remember that we can only serve one master at a time, and that is you. We're learning each day and trying our best. So be with us that we might change our ways and remember that there is only one person to follow, one person to follow, Jesus Christ. Be with each of us that we might learn and grow in Jesus' example of compassion and love. Today we come to you, some of us, hurting. We're hurting physically or emotionally or spiritually, and we're just worried about our own lives, the lives of our friends, our community around us, and even the country and the world. God, we ask that you have mercy on each of us, that we might learn to set our worry aside and do something about it. Guide us into what is next for us so that we might be a part of the peacemaking, a part of your will be done here on earth. Be with each of our friends who might be homebound or in the hospital, that they know your love and comfort. And be with each of us who are starting new adventures, that we keep our anxieties low and our excitement and passion high. And Holy God, we ask that we stay on fire and passionately in love with you and your people. Let us sing together the prayer that Jesus taught us.
In heaven, holy is your name, your reign come, your will done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and help us forgive as we have been forgiven. In the time of trial, lead us on to life, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Our God in heaven, holy is your name, holy is your name.
Amen. So, starting in October, we have a book study, October 11th. I'm finding a lot of people in and out of the church community are nervous about what the future holds, whether it's their individual lives or the world at large. And so I found this book, and I thought it might be appropriate for us to learn together. So let's watch the trailer. Thank you. seems as though we pray every week for our anxieties to be lower and our hearts to be more wide open to whatever God's will may be. And so I'm hoping through this study we can do this even better. If this time is not a good time for you, just talk to me privately and maybe we can come up with a second time to do the book study. And that leads us right into learning and growing as a disciple. We come together from across Onondaga County representing different cultures, generations, languages, abilities, and identities. Within our diversity, we are united as a community of strangers, mutually committed to Martin Luther King Jr.'s vision of the beloved community. Our offering is one way that we affirm our membership pledge to uphold this church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slips into the plate as the ushers collect our offering and our choir sings. Please remain standing and join me in the prayer of dedication. The time for harvest is close at hand. What have you done with the gifts God has given you?
We have brought our gifts to the house of the Lord.
Praise God for the gifts and the opportunities for service that they represent.
We praise God for all the ways in which our lives have been blessed.
Generous God, accept our gifts and our lives this day. Amen. When we try to claim our gifts as our own, the words do not ring true. But when we acknowledge their source, our gifts blossom. Please remain standing and join me in singing hymn 354, I Surrender All. Now go and continue to offer prayers and thanksgiving for everyone. Be shrewd in dealing with the world around you, but do not be seduced into serving wealth. Weep for those who suffer and share faith and truth with all. And may God welcome you with love. May Christ Jesus give you knowledge of the truth, and may the Holy Spirit lead you in all godliness and dignity. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.